You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
The mirror only works outwardly. God's word gets deep. Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. It gets way down in there. So it's worse to neglect the word of God. Scripture is, we talk about the means of grace. How can I be sanctified? How can I grow? How can I be blessed by God? And the answer is we have means of grace. The primary means of grace is the word of God. The spirit of God will use the word of God more than any other tool to sanctify you. So to neglect it, to become dull in hearing, hurts that whole process.
If you study the Bible by yourself, or if you've been studying for a long time, it is easy to become bored, forgetful, and untouched by it. Today, Pastor Tom will challenge you to humbly ask God as you read to teach, correct, and guide you. And as you take a prolonged look at yourself, don't forget what God says through His Word to you. In order to be transformed by God's Word, you must purposefully and seriously ask what God wants you to learn and begin to apply it in your life. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Scriptural Application, Why It Is Vital.
Reality is never cheated by self-deception. Reality has a way of coming up later and biting you in the backside when the truth comes and it hits you. That's why Scripture says that you're being a friend to someone if you kindly tell them the truth about them. Now, I know in the church, sometimes it's hard. We tell people that in the church, we need to speak to one another in love. Sometimes you see someone, they've got a problem, you overlook it. They've got a problem, you overlook it. But after it's a problem, it keeps coming up. You realize you better not keep overlooking it. You better show a little bit of courage and love and go talk to the person and help them to see what they're obviously not seeing about themselves. You have to do it respectfully, particularly when they're older. But you still have to do that. Some are so blinded, they just miss the truth about themselves entirely. If we're loving towards one another, we see it clearly. We have to find a humble way of saying, look, I don't mean to say in any way that I'm superior to you. I just noticed something about you, and I think it's hurting your relationships with other people. And I wonder if you've thought about the fact that you're not, and then fill in the blank with what it is. And that helps if you come with humility, right? Look down at James 1:26. Here's some more self-deception. Just a couple of verses further says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, so that's what he thinks to himself, I'm a religious person, and yet does not bridle his tongue. Ouch. You're going to evaluate my Christianity by my tongue? But deceives what? His own heart. This man's religion is? That's pretty blunt. Hearing the word is supposed to pull you out of self-deception. We tend to fall back into self-deception. We do. Because we like to think certain things of ourselves. Or excuse us because, yeah, I know I'm doing poorly, but hey, life's been hard this week, and so that's my excuse. We come up with the excuse, our upbringing, the difficulty with the people around us, whatever it is. People just don't know how hard this is for me. And we come up with that. These are the excuses that we buy into. You know, we pay for those excuses. We take them. They sound good to us, but it's self-deception. Hearing the word is supposed to pull us out of that. When you hear the word of God, you don't hear someone making excuses for the sin and the evil inside of you. God's word is, it's just strong. It's clear. It's always resonating with truth. By the way, a lot of churches like to think of themselves as Bible churches. They really do. I mean, I don't know too many pastors and church leaders. And you know, you go in there and say, hey, does your church teach the Bible? I mean, how many of them say, like, no, we don't teach the Bible. But very few of them actually do. And if you take a Bible expositor and put them in the pulpit and have them start teaching, they don't like it. They've deluded themselves into thinking they're receiving the word and supporting a biblical ministry. They're just dancing through Scripture, picking out the parts that they would like to emphasize. They're not really listening to God. And it's very dangerous. It happens in church all the time. It can happen right here. So I'm slowing down and talking to you a little bit here because I think this is the kind of thing I don't want us to miss, any of us. The expositor's commentary says, those who congratulate themselves on being hearers of the truth are deceiving themselves. If they assume that this is all that is needed, they are sadly mistaken. If they think that merely listening to the message earns them a position of special favor with God, they are duped by their own faulty reasoning. In reality, the responsibility of those who hear is far greater than those who have never heard. So if you don't want accountability, leave. Don't listen. Scripture declares and illustrates danger of self-deception. One example of idol worshipers. You ever wonder how someone could worship a piece of wood? How do they get there to worship a piece of wood? Well, Isaiah 44 kind of ponders that. Verses 18 through 20, I'll read it to you. They do not know, nor do they understand. For he, that is God, has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. See the judgment of God on them. No one recalls, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire, and I also have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver himself nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? He's deceived himself. He's got no chance. That's a dangerous place to be, wouldn't you agree? There are people in our world who actually think they're not sinners. Ha ha. Anyone who knows them knows they're sinners. They haven't listened to anyone. Grandma, the boss, their coworkers, any of them could tell them they're sinners. Or if they say, well, I'm a sinner. Sure, I'm a sinner. Everyone's a sinner, of course. So what's the big deal? What they're really saying is I'm not a sinner, because a sinner, if you confess that you're a sinner, what you should be saying is God would be right to punish me. If you're not willing to say God would be right to punish me, then you're not confessing that you're a sinner. You're making excuses for your sin. What does 1 John 1:8 say? If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. 2 Timothy 3:3, in the last days, evil men and imposters, people who pose as religious people, will proceed from bad to worse. By the way, can people get worse in their sin? Yes. There's bad, and then there's worse. I imagine there's worsest as well. And then it says, deceiving and being deceived. Deceivers are deceived. That's why they seem to stand and with sometimes eyes like, no, this is the right thing. No, it's the wrong thing. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. Ronald Reagan's son, Ronnie, recently said, I don't fear burning in hell. He was mocking the very concept of hell. He is a deceived person, and he's deceiving others. You know, it's sad. Bill O'Reilly had Franklin Graham on, and Bill O'Reilly was trying to make the point that folks that don't get a chance to hear the gospel, God would be wrong and unjust if he punished them. And poor Franklin Graham barely got a word in edgewise. But Bill O'Reilly is deceived. He doesn't understand that everyone is guilty of sin, whether they've heard the gospel or not, because truth has been revealed to them. That's Romans 1. God will hold them accountable for what they do know. Religious people can be deceived. That's the thrust of Romans 2. Let me read that for you. Verse 17. This can happen over time, religious people who hear a lot of Bible teaching. But if you bear the name Jew, Paul writes, and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? And he goes on. That's the sin of people who are around the Bible too much and don't learn to practice it. What about you? Do you believe that you're mature? Thinking you're mature, why? Because you chose the Bible church. You went to the site, Master Seminary. There it is, a biblical church. And you're here. You're here every Sunday. You take notes. What do you do with those notes? I'll just say this as soberly as I know how. A little more gray on me here than when we started this church 17 years ago. I've seen a few things. We have seen a few things. People who act like they're so supportive of the Word of God. Love the Word. Preach the Word. But when that personal issue comes up that people have spotted, and there's that anger issue, and you need to learn to deal with that anger issue. Your mouth needs to be corrected. Your family, you're not leading your family properly. Don't talk to your kids that way. When those kinds of things come up, what we've seen over and over again is people go, bye-bye. They're gone. They're out. Stubbornness, self-deception. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else. I'm sure as they're going out, they've got a rationalization. I don't need that kind of training. We actually have had people leave the church saying, that church just thinks Christians have to be that committed. They ask for too much commitment. Oh, I don't see anyone being crucified in our congregation for being a Christian. This is kind of a neglected topic, I think, with Protestants a little bit here. And that's why individual Bible study is a good thing. Don't hear me incorrectly, but it cannot be the only thing that you rely on. Because when we do individual Bible study, as noble as that is, often we tend to hear the word the same way that we want to read it. And it takes someone else preaching the word to us to open up part of it that we kind of been jumping over, reading it like, there it is. I cannot tell you how many times I open a passage, I'm supposed to preach it, I'm supposed to study it, and I'm like, ho-hum, I've had this thing memorized 20 years ago. What's interesting in here? And it's by Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning or somewhere like that, that I'm like, man, this thing has got so much in it, I never saw that before. And then somewhere by Thursday or Friday, I'm like, I can't preach this passage, I haven't been practicing that. I'm like, wow, how many times did I read it? Memorize it. Still didn't let it speak to my heart. Well, Scripture does not leave the ministry of the Word of God simply to an individual or to a family, but to trained men in church, and we need to listen to them as well. By the way, the same self-deception happens to children growing up in Christian homes. Now, there's a wonderful sanctification and beautiful thing to be growing up in a Christian home. It is a privilege, a God-given privilege. If you had that opportunity, that is wonderful. But the danger of growing up in a Christian home is you hear it and hear it and hear it, and you think because of hearing it, you know it, and you don't know it until you practice it. And that's why some Christian kids growing up in Christian homes and even going to a Christian school are the most dull in listening to the Bible. Someone outside of that hearing it for the first time is excited about it because they understand the value. But through the years, the so-called Christian child has just been muffling it and dulling it. By the way, if you've been to a Bible college, you know, don't wear that as a badge. I went to a Bible college. Good. Why'd you go to a Bible college? To be trained in Bible better than other folks. What does that mean for you? That means you need to put it into practice so other people can see it, right? Inspire others. Well, look at the illustration of the negative reason here in verse 23 that James gives. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. So that's the illustration of listening but remaining inactive. The if is a first-class conditional statement. It assumes the existence of someone like this, if someone is like this, and there are some that are like that. They look at a mirror. We talked about mirrors before. They had them in BC days. Often they were constructed from copper or polished bronze. If you're richer, gold or silver. The glass mirrors came later in Roman history. And just like today, they would look at their face in the mirror. They might shave, comb their hair. The illustration says a man looks at the mirror. That's a present active participle. showing that it was a characteristic activity to go to a mirror periodically and look at the mirror and see what he saw. What he sees is his face, really literally the face of his genesis. That means the face he was born with, or his natural face. It implies that there's something there as he looks into the mirror that should have been taken care of. You look in the mirror and there's something there that needs to be fixed. Okay, sort of implying that. We do that. We look in the mirror and we see the spots, the wrinkles, the blights, the problems with the hair, whatever. But then we walk away and don't do anything about it. That's the point. By the way, the word look in verses 23 there does in 24 does not mean a quick glance. It's not that he makes a quick glance in the mirror and then forgets. That's not the point. Actually, that verb means that someone looks with contemplation. It's the verb katanoeo. It's a strengthened form of the verb looking. So the comparison is not between someone making a quick glance in the mirror and someone taking a prolonged gaze into the Word of God. Both words actually mean they took some time to look into it. Will Varner brings this up. He says, the contrast in this little parable is not between the way in which the two verbs look at their respective objects. The real difference between the two is that the first person, looking in the mirror, forgets what he saw. And the second person, looking in the Word of God, the good guy, perseveres in his look and does not forget what he saw. It's about the forgetting, and we'll get to that. So this person looking in the mirror looks, but then immediately goes away and immediately forgets. His mind, poof, goes off to something else. Presumably, he has other things to do in the day, and he goes and he does that, and he's forgot all about his face and the problem on his face. How ugly he looks today. The servants see it. He's going to work with the servants in his house, and he's going to get all these things done. 1 hour turns into another hour, and he's just gone. He forgot. That's the point of the illustration. He forgets. Bringing it to the word then doesn't mean that much to him. He took a look. He may have taken a long look, but he didn't do anything about it. The implication is he heard the word. He heard the word well. He just didn't let the word impact him. His hearing really got him nothing as far as the power of God goes. No matter how he looks, he goes and forgets. Forgetting is the problem. Forgetting is the sin. Because forgetting shows he didn't care enough about the word to make sure he didn't forget. By the way, you don't forget the things that are really important to you. You know that, right? Right now, you got a list of things in your head, and the thing that is most crucial, you haven't forgotten it. I'll bet you haven't. I bet you remember it right now. I bet you're thinking about it right this second. It's that important. Tomorrow, you better not forget to, you know it, don't you? You remember the things that are most important to you. And that's what's a sin to not put the word into practice, because it should be most important. We often say, well, you know, I just forgot. I dash into the day, and my week got busy, and No. Let's not say that. Come on now. Because I've used the same excuse. So I know that's self-deception. What should we say? It wasn't important enough to me. Instead of being transformed by what you saw in God's mirror, the Bible, instead of purposefully and seriously asking yourself while you're being taught the Bible, what does God want me to learn today? That's the question. What should I apply? You can't apply every single thing said in every sermon, but you should be listening. Something will speak. Something will hit home. Something needs adjustment. Something may just rejoice your heart. Something may correct your thinking. Something may step all over your big toes. Something is in there. Something. Be listening. Is this not a reoccurring problem for some of us? Sunday message is over. Out in the foyer, 12 minutes afterwards. What was the message about? I don't know. Well, it was a great message. It was on, it was about the Bible, and it was the Word, and it was really great. You know what you should do? You looked in the mirror, you saw it, but didn't do anything about it. John MacArthur, a person who looks at God's word, even if it is carefully and accurately done, and yet does not apply the truths he has discovered to his own life, is like someone who immediately forgets what he has just seen in a mirror, except the consequences are immeasurably worse. He sees his sin portrayed for the horrible evil that it is, and he also sees God's gracious provision in Christ for a remedy, Yet he goes on his way as if he were never exposed to those realities. How tragic. Because we're talking about God's voice in the mighty scriptures to us, beloved. Scripture and doctrine are profound. They are shape our lives. They carry weight. Much more important than how our face looks. You can't change your face that much anyway. You can change your character a lot. The mirror only works outwardly. God's word gets deep. Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. It gets way down in there. So it's worse to neglect the word of God. Scripture is, we talk about the means of grace. How can I be sanctified? How can I grow? How can I be blessed by God? And the answer is we have means of grace. The primary means of grace is the word of God. The Spirit of God will use the word of God more than any other tool to sanctify you. So to neglect it, to become dull in hearing, hurts that whole process. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. He's talking about truth from Scripture there. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We keep looking into that mirror, the Word of God, and it transforms us over and over from glory to glory as we are changed and changed and changed to be more and more like Christ. That's what Scripture does. It's a means of grace. Scripture works along with our conscience. We have a conscience in there. We all have a conscience. The conscience is self-aware. The conscience judges whether or not your thoughts are good, your actions are good or bad, your words are good or bad. Your conscience is working, but your conscience is only so good. Your conscience tells you there's right and wrong, but it doesn't tell you what's right and wrong. You have to get the what from somewhere else, the Bible. The Bible then tells you this is right and wrong. This is a blessing. This is the better way to think. This is a way to act in faith. No, that's doubting God. No, that's anxiety. And then your conscience gets help from the Bible and the Spirit is in there working that whole thing out. And then there's something very powerful and dynamic that happens as a believer listens to the Word of God and it transforms us. R. Kent Hughes writes, though I had an active conscience before coming to God's Word, I only saw dimly what I was, but the mirror of God's Word revealed the truth and continues to do the same. So all of that then is the negative reason. That's what happens if you don't apply God's word. Next comes the positive reason in verse 25. And here we reach a little bit of a crescendo in James's emotion here, kind of a height he takes us to. This is how you should want to be. Verse 25, but one, notice the contrast, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man, there's a little emphasis on that. This man, the obedient man, the doer of the word, that man will be, and here's what we all want, the blessing. Will be blessed in what he does. The blessing of God comes for the obedient. Lord, why is my life not all that blessed? And why is my life not all that happy? And why is it that I'm not really learning what I ought to be learning? Answer comes, not obeying. Doesn't have to be so simple all the time. Why can't he give me a complicated answer so I can feel a little bit better about myself? You're not trusting me and you're not obeying. Trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, right? There's no other way. You got another way? Anyone got another way? You can be very blessed. Just like anybody else. It's not like this is true for only some people, those who have their birthdays in February. Only some people, those who have attended church for 25 years or more. This is anybody. This is indiscriminate. If you would be obedient, God would bring his blessing.
You don't forget what's most important in life. You work hard on it. You devote yourself to it and let it change you. Today, Pastor Tom encouraged you to treat God's Word as an important part of your life and don't forget it. Let it go deep into your soul and change you. Invest the time to know, understand, and apply it with devotion and expectation. And God's Word will transform you. God will bless your trust and obedience. If you enjoyed today's message on Discover Hope, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to ask you to prayerfully consider donating to this ministry to help us expand the reach of the gospel. You can give securely online at hopebible.org. Do you live in the area of Columbia, Maryland? If so, you're invited to become part of our Sunday morning gatherings here at Hope Bible Church. Join us for a morning of Bible study, worship, and fellowship. Find out more by visiting our website. Again, that's hopebible.org. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will encourage you to take the Word of God seriously, recognizing it speaks directly to you because it is living and active and powerful. If you simply read and forget or ignore it, you are neglecting the incredible transforming power of His Word. The mirror of God is perfect, seeing, correcting, and guiding you by the power of the Holy Spirit to be as God intends you to be. To listen again to today's message in the book of James, visit hopebiblechurch.org and look under the Sermons tab. Pastor Tom will return soon with another in-depth study of God's Word. So join us again, right here on Discover Hope.